Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Word 60 Radio. I'm your host, Red Snapper, and we're going to get it going this evening. We got some live things going on tonight, so sit back and relax as we bring you Word 60 Radio.
I know that it's real. Maybe I could be your motivation. Your attitude is right, no real can get you out of my mind, girl. Anything you need, I got, just tell me that you'll be mine, girl.
Sexy Radio, and I'm your host, Red Snapper, and here we are again on this Tuesday, and it's hot, and we know how it is here in Kansas City, and there are rounding, sounding people, and anybody who wants to call in, the number is 917-889-8206. This is Word Sexy Radio, Grown Folks Radio, And we do say what the fuck we want to. So if you didn't know that, this is explicit radio as well. So if your kids are listening, you might want to get them out the room. If your grandmother or somebody's around, you might want to get rid of them too right now, because these 2 hours we're going to be doing our thing. DB, what's going on, brother?
Hey, what's happening, man?
Are you all right, man? Because I know last week you had to leave for emergency. Is everything okay?
Yeah, you know, when, you know, something catches you off guard like that, it, you know, it just really got to me. Because, you know, it's a lot of things going on right now. And when you got somebody
really
close to you and you know, and something happens to them and, you know, they run the same age you are, you know, it puts a lot of things in perspective.
Yeah, I can imagine. I really, really can't imagine that. So my condolences to you and to that family. And I'm glad that you were still able to come on the show tonight and co-host with me. So we'll keep you in prayer as well. All right, so let's get off of that, man, and talk some shit. We got some people that's going to come on. Before we do that, let me do a little admin. As you know, this week is a special week for me because tomorrow, well, Thursday night, I'm doing a book signing here in Kansas City at the Broadway Jazz Club. For those who are in the area, if you want to come out and party with me for a little while, and then it's the kickoff to my birthday weekend because Labor Day is my birthday. I'm going to be doing my thing. Normally I cruise during this time, but my son kind of fucked me up on that one because he was supposed to been getting married in November, and I was going to go to Barbados, and then he changes it, and it's too late to go on the cruise that I had planned. So I'm going to go ahead and go to Cancun in October with my girl. How about that? So anyway,
that's how you're supposed to do it.
This is what we're going to do. We got some guests. We got Lili is going to be here. We're supposed to have Mike Warren, and I'm going to bring Lili in right now, and I want her to introduce herself. So go ahead and tell us what's going on, Miss Lili.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. Say hello to DV tonight. DV.
Hi, DV.
Hey, Miss Lili.
How you doing?
I don't know if y'all
Lili?
Know each other. What's all this sexiness going back and forth? Wait a minute. What the fuck? Okay, hold on. Wait a minute. All right, okay. That's it. Lili, if you didn't know about Word Sexy Radio, you need to know that you can be yourself on this show. We don't put out questions. We just shoot from the hip. And for those who know about Word Sexy Radio, that's what we do. And for that reason, we want you to be who you are. So we hope that you're bringing your A game tonight. I know you're going to do some pieces for us. But right now, we're just going to introduce yourself and tell the world who don't know you out there who you are and what you're doing.
I'm Lili Ain't Misbehaving. I reside in California, Vallejo. I've been doing poetry for a while, but I have a book of poetry out that came out through Inner Child Press in December titled Untamed Pen, and it earned me a National Poetry Award nomination for Poetry Author of the Year this year.
All right. Interesting. Very right. Interesting. Now, you know, we do poetry on this show, and we also have authors as well, as you know. And we also, I hope DB got some questions. No, he don't have any, but hopefully he's got some questions to ask you, the five that we're going to have to start getting back on, our five questions that we ask people. But anyway, if not, normally, I know you know Miss Cotton, the soft-spoken poet. She's normally here, but she's been doing some touring lately, so I haven't had a chance to get her back, but you know, she's usually on here as well, so that's why we have poetry. She's usually our expert on the poetry side and tell us what's going on, because me and DV don't know shit about poetry. But we do know if it's good or bad. If it's fucked up, we'll tell you. If it is good, then we'll let you know. For those who know who's been here, it's not about dogging you. It's just letting you know if you're serious, because we like people to be serious about their craft and bring their craft. So what made you said you've been doing poetry for a while and you're up for an award, so you must be good in some to that aspect. When did you start writing? Don't tell me you started writing when you was 3 years old and all this shit. Now, when did you know you wanted to be a writer?
You know, I just wrote because, you know, I just love the words booked in my head, and it was a therapy thing for me. So I never had any intentions of putting out a book.
Well, when you was in kindergarten, you didn't write a novel and, you know, it's like some of these people that come over here, they said they wrote this book and they knew they was going to be a writer when they were 12.
I just, and in high school I wrote a poem or two, but I did take a creative writing class, And we had this one typing class, and we would be bored in there, and I made up this little soap opera titled Circus Thrills, and I would throw my friends and their boyfriends in there and just kill time. But then after a while, they're looking forward to seeing what happened next week. So fucked around, did that, just bullshitting. And I didn't really start writing poems anymore until maybe 6 years ago, maybe.
Really? So you know... GPA and all those people, then. You've had encounters with Okay, good.
So, your poetry, have you performed any of it live, or is it all just something that you've written down?
For the most part, I was writing it down, but up until, like, a year ago, I was featured last year at in Maryland at Art Is, and then I performed at the New Yorican. And I also performed, I was one of the features at Poetry Fest this year.
Okay. Although this is, we do erotica on this show, we do all kinds of things. You don't have to do erotic poetry, but I'm sure you have some erotic pieces that you've done in your walk.
I'm kind of known for my erotica. I mean, I do a little everything, but yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Did you say you're known for your erotica? Is that what she said? She's known.
My name is Lili Ain't Miss Behaving. I tend to cut up at times.
Oh, shit. Okay. All right, so are you about to blow our minds this evening? Or are you going to get us hot? What are you going to do? I mean, there's lots of people that's listening right now. And if you're not listening, you need to call in. The number is 917-889-8206. This is Word 60 Radio, Blown Folks Radio. And if you want to also get on the chat room, you can ask your questions there as well. We have people in the chat room that's talking shit, and they cuss and all kinds of shit. I see Robert Rooks in there and a few others. And, you know, they do their thing. So they're going to be asking questions and not trying to put you on the spot, but just want to make sure you know your craft, because we have people sometimes that come over here and don't know what the fuck they're doing, and we let them know. So,
well,
not trying to scare you.
I think I'm still and create a sentence or two, you know.
Oh, well, you know, a lot of people say they can do
shit. I'll
let
you guys be the judge of it.
Well, you know, and like I said, don't take it. All I want you to do is be you, sweetheart. Just be yourself and put it out there the way you wrote it. You know, put the feeling in it, because we have some poetry, people come on here as poets that come on and they say they're spoken word, and I know that I've heard from Cotton that there's a difference from spoken word and a poet, poetry, poets. So, you know, you have people come on here and they're monotone and they're like no feeling, and I'm like, did you write it that way? So I'm going to give you a chance right now to give us one of your pieces and let us know what you're feeling and what brought it about.
Okay, this piece right here is based off a true story. I was feeling some type of way after, a get-together with a friend. So this is titled Midstroke.
Okay, wait a minute. Before you go any further, did this guy, he fucked the shit out of you or what?
Basically.
Okay, good. That's what I want to hear now. I want to hear it at this point.
He's not lining out my shit, but you know. Hey.
Well, that's what I want to hear in this poem. When you put this motherfucker out, I want it to sound like you got your shit knocked out.
Okay. Well, I will try again.
Do it. It's on you, baby. It's on you.
Okay. I snapped a picture of him mid-stroke because I knew it would provoke the replay of memories in my head. He was sucked, fucked, dead, and put to bed. It was once said that the female species should be ladies in the streets and freaks in the sheets. We'll call this lady a tramp because I revamped all the rules of yesterday. I fucked him six ways to Sunday, didn't get on my knees to pray. I kneeled down and threw these succulent lips upon my prey and tightened them as I squeezed the last drop out of him. I should ask God for forgiveness because gluttony is one of the seven deadly sins that I committed. I died 69 times through the 69 bumps and grinds that he inflicted. Over and over, I became addicted because of the way he maneuvered the dick. Precision lightning strikes hit me like a brick. As I snapped a picture of him mid-stroke, he stirred something inside of me. Had me scrambled like egg yolks. His body spoke to me. had me reach for my phone. I fought through moans to reach out and touch him the way he touched me. I left explicit messages so he can replay the sounds of his ravage when he pillaged me. He was a savage as he took my pussy hostage, lip-locked on my clit as he took massive steps. I had one leg around his waist and the other thrown across his shoulder. He made this old cougar feel young again, his chin drenched in the aftermath of our fornication. I licked his chin, then inserted my tongue inside of his mouth so I could partake in the juices that he drank down south. I got a rush from my pineapple crush. He pushed deeper inside of me, pushing me over the limits of ecstasy. I was turned on by his hard-on. I melted from his touch. My eyes rolled back just far enough to watch the footage of my erotic thoughts playing on the walls of my brain. The remnants of our lovemaking soaked our bodies as well as the sheets, stained from leaks as heartbeats were in sync. I can eat and drink him all day, hair all in disarray as well as my thoughts. I'm lost in the memory of him. I sinned in the gluttony of a gladiator who massacred the feline underneath her skirt. His width and girth was worth all of the mayhem he provoked, and I caught it all in a snapshot of him, mid-stroke. In peace.
Damn.
Did I do okay?
All right, here on Word Sexy Radio, she's bringing it. Now, I must let you know.
Yes.
Somebody in the chat room said you sound like you was getting moist while you was saying that. I mean, we don't know. I'm not there. They're snapping their fingers in the chat room, and I'm trying to keep my hand off my manhood here, and it was great. You actually are living up to what I heard you were about.
Oh, well, you heard me. Well, damn.
Okay, so you know I had to get the word on you before you came here because, you know, you was recommended by GTA to come, so.
Oh, yes. Shout out to
you. Yes. Yes, I'm losing you, though. You're starting to fade away. Do not do that. Okay, so chat room, what you got to say, put your words in, and everybody out there calling, anybody want to have a question, I'm going to go around and see if anybody wants to respond to what they've just heard. Also, I got my other guest is here. Matter of fact, let me bring him in right now. He heard that. I'm going to get him to say who he is and to give a comment on what he just heard. Now, go ahead, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, man?
How you doing? Say who you are and then give me a comment on what the fuck you just heard. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, my name is Mike Warren. I'm the author of several gay genre books, so I don't know how I fit into this particular show, but you know, you said that you know, be yourself and talk about whatever shit you want to talk about. So here I am.
This is true.
Okay, so what did you think of that piece? Was you getting into it?
Did
you want the dick too, or what? I mean, are you, you know, just
No, I mean, I thought it was pretty good. I mean, I thought that, you know, she may put a little bit more into it. You know, you were saying earlier about how, you know, poets or people who speak the spoken word come on and, you know, they just, you know, the poem or read the poem through, but they really don't get into it. But based upon what she said, I thought it was great. But I was waiting for her, I guess, maybe to put her big foot into it or something. I don't know.
Okay. Well, that's good. All right. So we got his opinion. And all those that are out there, I'm going to go around to others because there's lots of people that are here that are supporting this woman with her sexiness, and we're going to go around. I'm going to try a couple of numbers here and see if they have anything to say. If not, don't hang up. Just say you don't have anything to say or don't say a word, and I'll go away from you. So I'm going to start with area code 513. State your name. Where are you calling from?
It's Romeo DeNazzi from Cincinnati, Ohio.
You, I knew it was you, brother. I knew it was you. What's going on, bro?
First off, I want to say congratulations to Lily. Ain't misbehaving on another adventure in her feature.
Right.
World.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I peace and blessing to everybody that's upon the show today. I had a question for Ms. Lily, if that's possible.
That is very possible. You know you have a question, you can ask it.
Okay. Again, peace and blessing, Lily, and happy to say that it's good to hear your voice in the midst of the earthquake that's been going on your neck of the woods. But my question is, I do want to say I enjoy that piece. Now, I've heard a few years ago when you first came on, and you really grown in your poetry, in your even sense of your erotic and sensual poetry, and it seemed from when you first started to where you are now, and it's just been a fanatic growth. But my question is, what do you take more pride, what do you get more excitement from? Because I have your book. I also had the pleasure of meeting Ms. Lily in person, and I was able to purchase her book, and people might have the impression that her book is, you know, just a erotic filth of just nastiness, but it's actually
you never
not,
say that, because that's not bullshit. There is no filth.
Exactly.
There's no nastiness. Because my books are filth and nastiness. No, I'm sorry. No,
but now people might think that because of what she's known for, but this book, it has a great depth of what she goes through, what she thinks about, what she feels. And is more to it than just the erotic sense. So I want to
Untamed
let people know
Pen is the name of it,
book.
Right?
Absolutely.
Right.
But,
Untamed
yeah, the
Pen.
Question, what do you take more pride, more excitement in? Because you do write wonderful erotica, but also your other work is fantastic on its own.
It's on you, Lily. She's still here? Yeah, she's here.
Oh, I didn't know I was muted. I'm sorry.
yeah, that's okay. It happens all the time. That's okay. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I take pride in my conscious pieces. Because, like, again, a lot of people don't, they associate with me with erotica. So when I call into a show, they're like, oh, let's get ready, get the wet wipes, da-da-da. And then I'll bust out with a piece, and they're like, whoa. Like, yeah, there's more to me than just fucking.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, it's, you know, I mean, okay.
Nothing wrong with this.
Granted, I just met you on this show, understanding.
Yeah.
But you know, yeah. when you did that piece, I didn't get the impression that that's all you do is erotica.
Right.
And I didn't get that, and I didn't ask you to be on the show allow you to be on the show because of that, because I know you have a depth.
Yeah.
And we always preach on this show that, you know, we want to get away from what we do. What we have is what we like or we're comfortable in, but we always want to be able to move forth into other places that we think we may not be able to do because it's interesting, it's intriguing to do.
Right.
So I know that you are a woman of all types of, you know, have different sides in poetry. You wouldn't be a poet if all you wrote was just erotic. I mean, you know,
right.
I mean, that's just my thing. But
right.
I'm glad that he brought that because whenever Romeo comes on, he always brings out some great
yes,
feedback. So, but the thing is, I just wanted to, you know, just see. What's up? And if all three of your poems are not as erotica, it's fine. I didn't ask you to do that. You asked me how many pieces. I told
right,
you.
Right.
So you can speak on whatever you want. I'm just glad that you did start with that one because I wanted to see that side of you.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can see the militant side because a lot of times I hear poets and they'll get up here and they'll be complaining about shit. And, you know, if that's what they're feeling, that's fine. But, you know, all this, you know, it's just there's different things that you can talk about. So,
yeah.
You know, like
oh, no,
said,
I have
I
no complaints at all. I appreciate the platform and the opportunity to be featured on your show. And I love doing erotica. Love it.
Yeah, her sexy is sexy. Let the word play long. Yeah, I just had a question to promote the book.
Because,
okay. Like I said, most people think that the book is strictly erotica.
Yes.
But it's
well, you know, I look at Untamed Pen, and I don't see that. But maybe I didn't, you know, maybe I, okay, but I understand where you're coming from with that. But we got another person here that I want to speak right now. 713, go ahead on and speak. I know you're there. Maybe you don't want to speak right now. But anyway, we'll come back to you because I know that number. We'll come back
so
to you.
I.
But anyway, yes. So you know, it's somebody that you know, I'm sure.
Hello?
713.
Oh,
you don't want to, do you want to speak? Go ahead.
Hello?
Is this Melanie? Yes. Can you
yes.
hear me?
Yeah, I think I don't know.
Okay.
No, I didn't. I came in after everything. I just, when you saw my number, I just came in. So
okay.
I got to
well,
tell
we'll
you
bring,
the conscious. Yeah.
Okay, we'll come back to you. Because I also have another author here. I want to get him in real quick before we get another poem from Ms. Lily. So what we normally do on the show is we have two authors or two poets or whatever, or author and a poet come on. I always like to have two guests because sometimes one may not show up and the other can take the whole
right.
2 hours or whatever. We work it like that. So I want to bring Mike in so we can talk a little bit about what he's got going on. So, Mike, can you kind of give us a little background on who you are and what you write and what do you have going on out there?
Wow. There's a lot of things going on. Basically,
well, just give me the basics. I'm just like
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just fucking with you, man. Go ahead.
My name is Mike Warren.
Mm-hmm.
I've been writing gay fiction novels for the past, 7 years or so. And, you know, most people seem to enjoy them. You know, I know that, you know, there are, you know, lots of books out there like that for those who like to read that type of story. But being gay and being gay for more than 20 years, that's something that I wanted to write about because the majority of the other gay books that I've read or gay genre books that I've read, I don't know. I could never see myself in them, so to speak.
So Elan Harris
did
you read any of Elan? He's a frat brother of mine. Of course, he's passed on. Have you read any of his books?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, Elan is the godfather of black gay books, as far as I'm concerned. You know, he was the first book that I've ever read when it came to that. But what I'm saying is that a lot of the characters, I don't know, always seem so stereotypical. You know, they were always flamboyant, you know, some flaming queen, you know, or whatever the case may be, as well as, I don't know, it just wasn't enough erotica in it for me. I mean,
understood.
For me, I like erotica, but I also like a good story, you know. So a lot of times when I read books, even straight books, you know, the erotica side is excellent. However, the storyline is crap, or vice versa. And, you know, it just kind of just doesn't do it for me. So when I started reading Elan Harris's books, I was intrigued. However, he never, in my opinion, got into detail as to men loving men sexually. So I basically wanted to write my own story and put it out there, you know, You know, what black men
how is that working for
with
you?
One another.
Is it working for you? Is it,
well,
you
like
have
I said,
audience?
I've been doing it. I've been doing it for the past 7 years, and I was able to quit my job.
Okay, I
so
guess you're doing pretty good then.
So
I guess you're doing pretty well then. Okay,
yeah.
I'm going to bring Melanie in. Melanie, I want you to be the female voice here for us this evening because Cotton is not here, so can you do that? Turn your mute back off, Melanie.
Sure.
Okay. I want you to be on the panel this evening. Okay. All right, so continue, my brother.
Oh, me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yeah, so as I said, I wanted to write a book about brothers, loving brothers, and showing the eroticism that also is a part of our lifestyle. And I didn't read too much of that. I didn't read too much of that in Elian Harris's book or James Earl Hardy's book or, you know, anything like that. And, you know, I have a lot of straight females as well, and they would always say to me, oh, wow, I just can't see two crusty motherfuckers together, you know, or doing anything, you know.
Okay.
I mean, it was like,
well,
you know, that kind of thing.
Just so y'all know, he said that shit. I didn't, okay? All right. Okay.
I mean, but that's
what y'all to know.
He
said that shit,
right.
Not me. Two crusty motherfuckers,
that,
okay.
That's what.
All right, go ahead.
That's
right.
What the majority of society, I think, punted, you know. And
well,
so
go ahead, finish your statement, then I'm going
to
say something.
I wanted to write a book showing that love, that affection, that eroticism that two men can have, and that it's not as crusty as, you know, people make it out to be. You know, it can be
sexy. Well, you know, let's look at it like this. You know, everybody has stereotypes of what they think, you know, and, of course, what society accepts, we'll say American society, because society over in other countries is different as far as how they treat gays and that aspect. But here in America, you know, that's where the issue is and where people feel that, you know, two crusty motherfuckers don't look good together rubbing, but they'll love to see two nice women as long as the women are both looking like women and not one is looking like a butch or something. They're
exactly,
okay with that.
Exactly.
So I understand where you're coming
from. I am so sick and tired of
and you know, even in our movies,
it's not even our white counterparts. It's in the black community where
every time somebody's gay in a movie, it's always they're flaming, like you said. It's they always have to have the flamboyances they're very, very, very
The
you know that they're
like,
there.
You know,
when they're black, they're flamboyant. When they're white, they can be just regular guys. You know, and
look at Modern Family. They're flamboyant, but it's okay for them.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, but see, thing is, Cam is still that farm guy. You know what I'm saying? He's still that, you know, I do this. Whereas, you know, his significant other, you know, his husband now, you know, is the flaming one, for lack of a better word.
The difference here is what's interesting is that in the white community, you know, that's more acceptable. But still, when it comes to the black community, it's still taboo. And I am so sick and tired of us as black people discriminating against black gay folk. You know, it's ridiculous, you know. So I wanted to write a book, or at least I started out wanting to write a book to try to give some kind of meaning, some kind of warmth, and some kind of sensitivity to what I went through as a black gay man. And it all started when I joined the military. I mean, prior to that, at 19 years of age, I was in church. I got a young lady pregnant. I did the right thing. I married her. And in supporting her, I went into the military. You know, that was a good government job. You know, I need to go serve my country. And I did. And once I got into the military, that's when a lot of things changed for me. And that's my first book, which was called A Private Affair.
How many books do you have published right now?
I have five books published. I have five books published now, and I'm coming out with another one in October sometime of this year.
So now my question is because to me I look at it, you're an author, okay? It doesn't matter if you're gay or whatever. It doesn't matter about your sexual preference.
Ooh.
How do you present yourself, and I guess when you go out and do book signings and stuff like that, is there an issue with you presenting yourself in the manner that with the writing you have, or is it always seen that you have to go to gay functions or whatever to present your work, or is it, you know, straight people that's reading your books as well, or how does that work out for you?
Well, you know, that was very hard at the beginning in regards to you know, doing book signings, because when I would do them, you know, at a bookstore, you know, Barnes & Noble's or, you know, wherever I was, you know, a lot of people would come into the store and they would see me sitting there, and I would introduce myself to them. They would pick up the book, they would look at it, and then look at the back of it and read the synopsis, and then their eyes would buck out and look at me and say, "Are you gay?" You know, so it was like, yeah, you know. And then what made it even funnier is that I would have my 22-year-old daughter sitting there with me. You know, so they would look at me, and then they would look at her. You know, it's like they couldn't figure it out. You know, so it was a little difficult at first. And I actually had an opportunity to talk to Elin Harris about that, you know, because I knew that he had, you know, is the godfather as far as I'm concerned. And I was able to contact him, and that was one of the many questions that I asked him in regards to, you know, how was it for him, you know, going out here, putting himself out there, doing book signings, having people, you know, look at you a certain way or talk to you a certain way, you know, that sort of thing. How do you deal with that? You know,
well, you know what I've seen. Go ahead.
Basically, he just told me that, hey, you know, that comes with the territory. You know, it doesn't really matter what you write about. You know, the bottom line is people are either going to like it or they're not going to like it.
And they're not.
And, you know, ever since then.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I keep cutting in on you. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, ever since then, you know, I've just been doing my own thing. Fortunately, about 2 years or so ago, I stopped doing book signings. Not because of how I was treated, but mainly because I already had a fan base of a few or several thousands of people, and I had gotten a name for myself, especially in the gay community, as well as with a lot of the black female readers. You know, I don't write for the gay community. I really don't write for the gay community.
Well, I mean, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, well, what I was going to say was a lot of Elin's, not saying that he didn't have gay readers that was reading, but most of his readers were women because they were interested in seeing the two men together.
An interesting story about that is that he told me, Elin told me that if that's what I wanted to do, being that the black straight female were the people who basically read his books, keep in mind, make sure you have a strong black female character in your book.
Right.
So
well, let me ask you this question.
Should be represented.
Well, let me ask you this question, and I'm gonna get back to Lily as well. When you asked to come on the show, why did you not tell me that you were gay?
Does it matter?
You think I was gonna say no? You couldn't come on the show because I'm finding out you're gay.
But at the time, I thought, being my arrogance,
said, fuck it, I'm going to get on the show.
I thought you knew who I was. You knew my shit. So
no, I don't know your shit. Hell no. But it's okay, brother. I mean, it's cool. I don't mind that you're on the show. It's just that, you know, you slipped your ass in without telling me. No, I'm just playing. I'm just fucking with you. But I didn't know that you was gay, so that's fine.
Yeah,
no problem.
But like I said, I just assumed that, I mean, if you're going to invite somebody on your show, I would think that you have done some research to find out who and what
normally,
they were about. So I just
normally what I do is
that you knew who I was.
No, it's fine. It's no problem, man. I interview people who write. I interview writers, okay? Poetry writers, anyone. So it's not a problem. And I'm just using this really to have fun with, actually. But normally what I normally do is when people come on my show, I always ask them to give me a bio, and they always give me a book or something of that nature. But a lot of times with all the people that I have coming on my shows, I do not have time to read all this shit. So but it's cool, man. It's fine. There's no reason for you to get, you know, I'm not trying to get you to get, you know, what do you call it, hostile or anything. It's fine. Actually, I think
it's cool. I think it's kind of funny if you had first.
It is funny because you fucking clipped your ass in on this plan. No. It's all good, man. I'm glad you got a sense of humor. But
no, I'm
so
not.
You got,
hey.
Huh?
Say what? No, I'm just saying. Hey, I'm not offended at all. I think
you shouldn't be, because I'm not. I people live the way they want to and do what they want to, and I think it's good, you know, that you are able to come on and first of all be able to know who you are and be able to admit who you are and be able to write the things that you want to write about and do it. So I don't see anything wrong with that. You know, more people want to do what you're doing and can't. Just like I tell authors all the time that come on the show, a lot of people want to write a book, but they always say they want to do it, but they just don't. If you got one book out, you've accomplished more than anybody has done that really wants to do it. So, I mean, I have no issue with it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to see if there's any questions. If anybody has a question of you, if they want to speak, the number is 917-889-8206. This is Word Sexy Radio, and this is Grown Folks Radio, and we let anybody come on the show, as you know. All right, so let me see. If area code 910, I'm going to see if you have a question. If you don't, please don't hang up. Just say you don't have a question. All right. Okay, they're not saying anything. How about Lily? Do you have a question?
Your first book, was that dealing with gay topics or what?
I'm sorry, what did she say? The first book was about what?
Your first book, was that dealing with gay topics?
Oh, yeah, yes, it was. I mean, that was all of my books are gay genre.
Okay.
So with the first book, like I said, I wanted to write a book that would somehow get the black straight woman, who is the target reader, a better understanding as to how or what men do with one another and how it can be sensuous and how it can be sexy. You know, and I think that when it came to, you know, Elin, you know, or James Earl, I think that is what was missing, I think, from their novels. You know, they didn't get that heavy into the sex between two men. You know, you may have a few lines, you know, and then basically it would say, you know, a good time were had by all. You know, and I just didn't want people to be like a fly on the wall and they could actually
see where this shit is going. You're saying you stuck a stick in his ass and he pumped the fuck out of him and as that motherfucker squealed. Okay, that's what you wanted to see. You didn't see that shit.
I didn't write it that grossly. You know,
bullshitting with you.
I wanted readers to read the book and not only be educated but become aroused as well.
Man, I'm gonna have to get you to read some of that shit so I can trip out, man, and see what is a. And I'm not laughing at you because I never heard it before, but I'm just interested to see what you're gonna say. A sensuous gay scene with two guys. I've never, you know, where it's romantic and shit.
I'm sure it can be.
I just never heard it. Like you said, it's never been put out like that. So even I write erotica.
Okay.
And I've had gay scenes in some of the books I've written, but I didn't have that shit where it was like, I never looked at it as being, I didn't have it
well,
where it was
but
rough,
I mean,
but I never looked at it as being a sensuous love scene and two men, they're in love.
Well, I mean,
and they,
throughout the book, it wasn't always sensuous and romantic. You know, I mean, there was some hit it and get it. You know, hit it and quit it.
Well, I mean,
if you flood any book with one particular type of sex, it gets boring. You know, if the whole book
exactly.
They're doing it doggy style, it gets tiresome. It's like, Jesus, if they do it doggy style one more time, I'm going to kill them. You know, so, I mean,
I think what you have to do is that you really have to change it up. You know, not only, for me, when I started writing, I had, in getting into this lifestyle, I'm just going to say, I was a hoe, okay? So the thing was is that it was the experiences that I had with several different men that were not always the same. There were things that I was taught in the process of going through it. And so this is what I discuss in the book. So, again, anybody who's reading the book can be like a fly on the wall and actually see what I'm writing. I mean, there have been many people who have asked me, well, you know, hey, well, when are you going to turn this into a film? You know, I would love to do that. But, again, my problem is that when it comes to the black community, I don't know how much I would get into it because,
Let me stop you right here. Why you got to write to the black community?
Well, hold up. You know, I don't write specifically for the black
community. Why are you worried about how they're going to accept
it? I'm only stating that as an author and writing about the genre that I write about, because it's such a taboo in the black community, these are the ones who I believe wouldn't really support it the way that I wish it would, only because it's still taboo. Now, as far as when it comes to the white community is concerned, I don't think it would be a problem.
I wouldn't say that.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that. I was just going to make a point about, it's kind of a conundrum just listening to the struggle, because I personally don't think it's something to necessarily be ashamed of, wanting your target audience to be black like you and to write stories for them.
I'm not saying you.
I'm saying you as a person. Okay, let me clear that up. I'm saying you, the individual you, the author you, not you, sir. You as in a person. Like when we came out with Valentine, which I think you really would enjoy, you talked about erotica and about the stories. But we had that talk, Evie and I, about how to market, you know, how we were going to market and how we were going to do our characters and the best mass appeal and, you know, and then you go to Hollywood, which I think kind of mirrors literature, and you see that white people are not interested in black stories. And mass, they're not. So I don't think that it's, I guess, Mr. Ray, why do you have to write, you know, for black people? I think it's a wonderful thing to want to.
I think he just wants to be accepted all the way around. Everybody wants to be accepted all the way around.
But the thing is,
I wouldn't focus on just trying to satisfy black folks because they, you know, they ain't going to, you know, it depends. If it ain't buffoonism or something like that lately, you know, they ain't going to accept it anyway. You know, so like I said, like we spoke earlier in the beginning of the interview with you, you said it yourself. The only way they'll accept a gay story or something with gay has got to be something funny, and the gay person's got to be so flaming that, you know, that's the only way they'll accept it. But, you know, to have a true story about a gay experience, about two men that are straight that look straight and walk around just as normal as anybody else, but just happen to be gay, they probably wouldn't know how to handle that.
That's not only black, that's anybody.
But see, the thing is
the difference here is that when it comes to our white counterparts, I mean, there have been movies galore about white gay men. Even on the internet,
Philadelphia was a great movie. Even on Facebook, Philadelphia was a great movie.
50 or so pages of Eminem, and that's male-on-male romance. There are so many book clubs on Facebook for Eminem romances. And the sad thing is that 90% of the people on those sites are white. I've been out here 20 years or so doing what I do. I know I know what's accepted and what's not accepted. However, I'm not saying that it can never be done. That's why I write the way that I do, and I hope to be able to break that barrier one day. That's the whole point of why I'm writing. I want the black community to start accepting it more and not looking at it as though it was taboo. That's why I do what I do.
Hell, they can't even, sometimes they're still trying to accept regular sex. So what makes you think they're going to accept the taboo-ness
well, that's true.
Of gay sex? I know, I mean, we still got problems with the regular shit.
Here's my question, all right? You, basically, a private affair is kind of like an autobiography, you say, right?
Exactly.
Okay, so how exactly did you come out to your wife, or did something happen, or, I mean, how exactly was that scenario, and how did it come about? Because there's a lot of people right now struggling to tell their significant other that they're not, you know, who they portray themselves to be, who they're not really who they want to be. You know, so, I mean, how exactly did you come out to your wife, and, you know, are you guys still, you know, just respectable towards each other?
Well, first, let me say, you would have to read the book to find that out, because it's really a drawn-out story.
Cheating.
Here we go.
It's a journey.
Yeah.
It wasn't something that all of a sudden one day I just said, hey, guess what? I'm gay. It's not done that way. You know, when you are going through any type of situation, it's a journey that you have to take. And therefore, you know, everybody doesn't come out all at one time or say immediately, hey, you know what, I think I'm gay. You know, it's something that you have to process, just like with anything else. It has to process. But eventually, I got to a point where I didn't care anymore about my marriage. I fell out of love. And it wasn't because of what I was doing on the side. It was just a matter of everything else. You know, financial.
So you was on the down low,
you know,
for a while.
The regular bickering between, you know, husband and wives, you know, which again didn't have anything to do with my other lifestyle. And yes,
but
in
you
a
was,
sense,
so it was the down low thing
was
going on.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, there's a lot of brothers out there that's doing that because they don't know how to come out, like you said.
Yeah. It's hard.
But is that
you
being
know,
but is that being it. But is that being fair to that person that thinks that they have a straight husband?
No, it's not.
Or a relationship.
And the thing is that I wasn't being, I don't think I was being honest with my wife. However, at the time when we got married, as I said, I was very young. I was only like 19 or 20 years old. And I hadn't had any experiences in the gay lifestyle. I really didn't
think
about it.
But did you have any thoughts or any, you didn't?
I didn't have any thoughts or anything else. You know,
so
and to be arrogant, you know, I was a really attractive young dude, and therefore I had women throwing themselves at me all the time as a teenager.
Okay, but what made you decide that, okay, this is what I want to do?
Again, that's the crux of the book.
God damn it, man. You ain't going to tell us shit.
He's like,
well,
I'm
no,
not telling you. Read
no,
the
no,
damn
no,
book.
I'll tell you this, and that is, Well, when I went into the military, my first roommate happened to be one of those flamboyant gay men that we were talking about. And it kind of caught me off guard, and I was a little pissed about it at first, you know, and I tried to, you know, get another roommate or switch my room or whatever, but the military wouldn't let me. So in
what
time,
branch was you
I
in?
Got to know, I'm sorry?
What branch
Which
were
branch?
You in?
Army.
Okay.
So in time, what happened was that I got to know this brother a little bit, and he made me
I
laugh.
Bet you did.
I mean, the boy. No. The boy was a trip, you know. And
yeah, I was in the Army for 22
regardless.
Years, man. I seen a whole bunch of that shit, so I know what's going.
Exactly.
I know what's up with that.
But we didn't do anything. You know, it wasn't like that. I really started to. Love him as a brother, okay, as time went on. And, you know, he was from Omaha, Nebraska. So because where we were stationed in Fort Meade, Maryland, and I lived in Baltimore, And so because I was so close to home and he was so far away from home, I actually brought him home one weekend with me, with my wife's permission, you know, just so that he wouldn't have to hang around the base all weekend long, you know, by himself. So, you know, he got to know my family. You know, he got to know my mom. You know, my mom loved him. You know, they laughed. They thought he was a hoot, you know. So, you know, it was cool. What had happened was that marrying a church girl, okay, I never got the pleasures of oral sex, not to the point of actually coming. And, you know, my boys would tell me all the time,
damn.
Oh, man, it's the bomb, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Now, I'm 20 years old. I never experienced that. That is not something that my 19-year-old church wife does, you know, and she never wanted to do it, you know. And so as time went on, you know, even though my friend wanted to be the first, you know, to do it, I couldn't see it because, again, I just didn't look at him that way, you know. So I actually asked him to hook me up with one of his buddies, you know, one of his saggy friends, you know, you know. And, you know, I just wanted to try it to see what it was like. So that's
God,
basically
damn,
how it happened.
What the fuck? Okay. All right. That's it. That's enough.
Don't get scared
he
now.
He stuck his ass on the show and shit.
I had to give it to you, man.
I did. Well, yeah, I did because I didn't fucking check your goddamn resume. No, I'm just fucking
bio.
You're good, man. You're all right. So it's good. So how can people get your book, man? Because I got to get my girl Lily back on so I can get hot again because you fucked up my damn vibe and shit with this goddamn bass shit. So how can people get your book, man?
Hey, they can they're at the bookstores. If they don't have them in the bookstores, they can order them. Or you can go online on Amazon, you know, put in my name, Mike Warren. You know, all of my books are in there. You can get the paperback copies or you can get the Kindle version. You know, you can even go on the iPad, you know, and get an iBook if you like. You know, so they're all
over
there.
How long was you in the military?
Hey,
I knew of Mike Warren. How long was you in the military? I was in that motherfucker for 22 years.
Nah,
who was your MOS? Who was your job?
75 Delta W5. I was a SIPPERS analyst.
I knew it. I knew you was one of them motherfucking goddamn personnel motherfuckers. Okay. I knew it.
Why you hate, bro? Why do you hate them?
I ain't hating. I'm just fucking with you, man. I had a good time. I was a warrant officer.
You must have been in infantry.
No, I started out in infantry in the first 7 years, but I was in quartermaster for the last 15. And I retired as a warrant officer, so yeah. I'm not hating.
Oh,
it's
cool.
Just that you see a lot of gays over in that side though, in that arena, so that's all.
Exactly. You know, and it's so
cool.
Interesting because so many people read my books and the first thing they say is, "Damn, I didn't know there were so many gay people in the military." I'm like,
"Oh,
what?
That's a lot of them. A whole lot of them.
Really?"
I had some commanders that were gay and shit, and at the time when I was in, of course, it wasn't legal like it is now to be in there, you know. You know,
right.
It was don't ask, don't tell was still going on, and you just couldn't tell nobody. If you admitted it, then it was automatic discharge. But now,
right,
President Obama has passed that.
I didn't understand why they even had the don't ask, don't tell, because prior to that, and when I was in there, and you know, we're talking about a long time ago. When I was in there, I mean, it was obvious, you know, that there were some brothers that were gay. You know, so I didn't.
Oh yeah, we knew they were, but as long as they didn't admit it, you couldn't accuse them of it. You know, you couldn't accuse them of
it
as long as they never admitted.
But I didn't understand the whole thing of the don't ask, don't tell, because everybody practically knew who was gay anyway. So what was the big deal?
Yeah, but if we didn't catch you with your dick in somebody's ass or somebody sucking somebody, you know, it wasn't. Or some two women eat each other. We ain't going to just put it on just the men.
Yeah.
You know
what it is?
You're good enough to die for somebody.
You're just not good enough to love who you want to love. And that's essentially
right.
What they tell
because,
you.
Because, you know, it used to be a restriction on officers and enlisted being together. You know,
and
first you could, and then they cut that out. So, you know, I mean, it's a whole bunch of different stuff. But
yeah, that's true.
Mike, I'm glad you came on. I'm glad you snuck in, man. Brought that side because, you know, we want to have all types of people come on the show that be able to talk about it. And I'm glad she felt
comfortable enough to want to come on and even speak about it on Word Sexy Radio. That's good. So we thank you for coming. And don't leave. I just want to give this next hour to Lily a little bit because she's got a couple more poems that we want her to do. And if there's any questions for both of you, we want to get those out in this second hour. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play an intermission song, and then after that, Lily, be ready to do something for us, okay?
Okay.
You're still there, right? Okay, I just want to make sure. I want to play a little bit of something here, and then I'm going to come back.
Okay.
All right.
All right over there?
I'm saying, I'm thinking he about to cough up a lung or die or something. Got me
no,
scared.
Don't die. Please don't. Not during the feature. I mean, don't die at all, but you know.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was me if y'all heard me coughing.
I was going
to
say something totally inappropriate, but I'm not.
You have to
give
some cough drops or some Nicorette or something. That sounds terrible.
I was going to say something totally inappropriate, but I forgot you don't know me like that. So.
Hey, I got sinus problems. What can I say?
Okay. Okay.
I'm sorry. My bad. Go ahead, Lily. I want to hear some more of her spoken word.
You know what? I want to hear something conscientious, honestly. Damn Red and his libido. I want to hear something conscientious.
Okay.
Yeah, well.
Wait.
You know, I'm up here sitting here on mute and shit. I'm sorry. But anyway.
Yeah, you heard it too, huh?
Yeah, I heard all that shit y'all was talking, and it wasn't me coughing, so you know it wasn't me. I wasn't spitting up no cum. And anyway, no, I'm just fucking with my man. I know
you
get some jokes
all
the
time. No
fur balls in my motherfucking mouth, unless it's coming from some pussy that's gotten lots of hair. Anyway, no, we're going to let Lily
anyway,
go ahead on
go
with
ahead.
Her thing. So, Lily.
So what was your request? Yes.
I want you just to. What are you feeling right now?
It don't matter with me.
Well, I want you to do what you're feeling.
Ready.
Well, I want you to do what you're feeling right now. If it's erotic, fine. If it's something protestable or whatever, just whatever you feel like you want to say.
Okay, Mike over there wants to hear a conscience piece, right?
Well, let's do that.
Okay.
Okay,
this, now something stuck in my throat. The same in the hair ball.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. What like the other words, hair and balls. Ain't no hair balls.
Hey, you're hair and balls, yeah.
I will not confirm nor deny that statement, sir.
I know that's right. You got it like that, you got it like that. Anyway, go ahead.
I've been known to stick a jawbreaker through a, like a jawbreaker through a straw. Anyway,
I'm looking at your pictures. Stop that shit. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Oh, she got. Or what?
I'll say that.
You got a picture? What she look like? What she look like?
She's fine. Anyway, go ahead.
I'm a little chocolatey. I'm a little busty. I'm a little.
Oh yeah.
Is she on Facebook?
Yes, she's definitely on Facebook.
Lily ain't misbehaving.
Yeah.
What is your name?
Lily ain't
misbehaving.
Yes.
L-E-L-E.
Yeah, you can find me on the event page.
L-E-E.
Yes, I'm on the event page. I made comments on there. So
yeah.
Click on there.
All right, Lily, we want you to do your thing.
He wanted to hear some conscience, so this is titled Lullaby.
Okay.
July 26th, Saturday. Today is a beautiful day. That's what they say. I can't see past the darkness in this cold, wet room, but I can hear voices outside of my womb. She cried. Happy tears, I hope. One encounter provoked an exchange of love. I felt her rub my temporary home, alone in constant dimness, but I'm not afraid. God began stacking the building blocks of my foundation, the creation of life told through a lullaby. 9 months will go by, and one day I will meet her, greet her with a song. Our collab will blend melodies of happy tears while my new family cheers in celebration of my arrival. I imagine she writes poems about me while sitting underneath peach trees and sipping on iced tea. I know that I'm small, but I'm a big deal in God's eyes. That's why he gifted my mommy with me. For the next 30-some-odd weeks, I will transform. This lovely black butterfly will flutter by inside of my mommy's belly, and I will grow into her mini-me. Our heartbeats thump in unison. I hope that she doesn't want to send because I am all girl. One day I will twirl around like a ballerina, wearing rings on each one of my little fingers. Hearts and ruffles will cover my dresses. while I make messes on her kitchen floor. I feel myself growing. Mommy must be glowing because I know that I bring out the best in her. My appendages are sprouting out like flowers in springtime. In due time, my mouth will spit insightful verses for the masses. Maybe Mommy should take Lamaze classes so she'll know how to breathe. She might forget once she finally holds her newborn seed. My hair is starting to grow like grass and yards. What a blessing from the Lord that I can finally open my eyes, felt the warmth of the sunrise burn through her skin. Mommy is going to the doctor again. She's healthy and so am I. I wonder what she'll name me. Perhaps Emily or Stacy. Will she name me after my grandmother or some other exotic creation unpronounceable in Swahili? Oh, Mommy, you mean the world to me. I cannot wait until you hold me. I see light at the end of the tunnel, but why do I sense trouble? This child's bright destiny is turned into a dark reality. The sounds of vacuums have entered my womb. No, it's too soon. I'm not ready. Ouch, you're hurting me. Please, Mommy, give me a chance. I can't survive under these circumstances. Tightly, I hold on to umbilical cords like branches, but the suction from this destruction is pulling me apart. In peace.
Damn. Interesting. Very, very interesting.
That was based off of an article that was in the Watchtower back in 1980. It was titled Diary of an Unlearned Child. And,
okay.
Yeah.
Watchtower? Jehovah's Witness?
Yeah, I'm not a Jehovah's Witness, but I like reading the articles. And it was told through the baby's eyes from October to December. You know, couldn't wait to be born to see Mommy and all that. And that last line was December 28th. Today my mommy killed me.
Interesting. That was abortion, huh?
Yeah.
Damn. Wow. I know Romeo's got something to say on that, so I'm going to let him speak. I have your mic on, Romeo.
Okay.
Yeah, I appreciate that because my battery low. Just a real good piece. Just point blank, period. Just to showcase her overall talent just as a writer, period.
I'm glad that you said that because she's different from a lot that we've had, and she's definitely focused in what she's writing. Being able to bring the situation to where you're actually in the room, like my man said, a fly on the wall or whatever, you can actually see what's happening. I felt like I was in the womb with this baby, and she was talking like the child and, you know, like a baby. And at first I was like, where's the erotic shit? And then when she started getting into all of the, you know. And then when I saw that she was being aborted, I was like, "Damn!" You know, that was it was deep.
Yeah. It started and she put that emotion behind the words anyway. Right. I mean, if you read it, you gonna feel it, but actually just to hear it, you get that second depth of it. And as you're going through the piece, I mean, she takes you along. It's a beautiful piece, and then it's like, "Well, damn!" That's just that realness. That she portrays inside her writing. And her erotica, it's like, I'm pretty sure she's going to give you some good shit coming up. But,
she got to at least give me at least one more.
Just overall, as a writer,
I want some Buck Wild shit, though. I want to be, my legs is
back. I normally don't talk about
people being a favorite writer of mine, but she's actually one of my favorite poets.
Well, you know, like I said, I know a lot of poets.
I enjoy.
And that's really enjoy her.
Thank you.
Well, that's great. What I'm seeing it's you know, it was good. Like I said, I'm not a poet, but the thing is you know, you can tell when somebody is really have found themselves in it versus somebody who's trying and they're trying to be what they hear other people do with the spoken word stuff, how they I hate when people do that shit. I hate when they do that shit. That shit just fucks me up. I just don't like it, man.
Like,
but anyway,
can you?
I mean,
yeah, why
the fuck?
I'm about to put
myself
back on mute and listen to the rest of the show.
No problem, brother. Thanks for your comments, though. Mm-hmm. You know, always.
Oh, no problem. Oh, yeah, yeah. I enjoy listening to Lily and Misbehaving. Absolutely.
I enjoy listening to Romeo the Nasty as well.
Yeah, the Nasty, that's him. Anyway, all right, so here we go. Your shit was off the chain as usual, and that was something that I probably wouldn't have wanted to hear, but you brought it in such a manner that I enjoyed it. I really did. And like I said, I'm not a poet. I don't write poetry. So, you know, but we know when somebody know what they're doing in their craft and when somebody doesn't. And I must say that I'm proud that you came on this show, and you're definitely welcome to come back again. And my brother Mike Warren, you can come back too, man. Ain't no problem. When we want to talk some gay issues or something and all that, man, can we call on you, man? Is that okay?
Absolutely. Feel free, man. You got my number. You know, give me a call.
Yeah,
holler.
I don't know if I'm going to call you, but I'll text you on Facebook or some shit and say, look, motherfucker, I need
no, I'm scared.
You damn right I'm scared. No, I'm just saying. No. But I'm just glad that we can joke like that, man, because, you know, I mean, I'm not serious with you. I'm fucking with you. But I'm glad that you could take it that way because some people can't. You know what I'm saying? They can't.
Well, I mean, that's true. But, I mean, you know, I've been in this too long, you know. And once coming out and my family knowing about it and kids knowing about it, you know, I really don't give a shit anymore, you know. I don't care.
Yeah, and you shouldn't. You shouldn't because it's you. It's who you are. If this is the lifestyle you choose to be and that's who you are, then why in the fuck should you be worried about it? And that's with anybody and whatever they're doing. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you should be who you are. I mean, and just recognize that because you got to live with it. It doesn't matter what everybody else say. You know, it's what you're living with. So that's the thing. All right, Miss Lily, I know I'm going to give you a little break for a second. We got like 43 minutes, but before this is over, we're getting one more from you at least. Okay. Does anybody out there, anybody got any questions for any of the authors that are here tonight? And even DV and me as well. We got questions for us.
I have a question.
Okay, all right.
Well, first of all, thank you for accepting my friendship on Facebook, Miss Lady.
No problem. Thank you.
I guess I just wanted to find out how did you get started? What really motivated you into doing poetry or the spoken word? What motivates you?
Like I said earlier, I didn't do it to write a book or anything. I just would write because it just got me through things for the most part. I was bullied as a child and, you know, growing up and a lot of things. I wasn't outspoken as I am now. And back then, you know, all the things I wanted to say, I just write in a poem. And then later on started blogging, would write off and on, and then got to Facebook and writing a little more, somehow got hooked up with the blog talk and talk show shows and got hooked up with the promoter and started performing. I hate public speaking, so it took me a while to get comfortable in front of the mic, and then before you know it, someone was like, hey, you should write a book, right? Like, look.
Is that something you do full-time or?
No, I'm a parent educator. I educate the kids.
Oh, okay. That's all right. Well, my thing is, you know, I could tell that you know, if you had to put a title on yourself, I don't think that you would call, you're not a spoken word artist.
No, I just like writing.
And I'm glad because, like I said, those spoken word ones is the ones that try to do all this singing shit and, you know, always got something going on and they want to, you know, I don't know. I just don't like it. I just don't like that shit. I like the old days back when the beatniks and all that shit and the snapping the fingers and the jazz in the background and real poetry. That's what I like. I don't like all that other bullshit they got out here now, you know, where they want to parade themselves and nothing against gay, but a lot of times someone will say, oh, I'm gay and I'm with this white woman. They want to go through. Huh? What was that again?
Well, me and Mike would get along real good because I like penis too.
So anyway, go ahead.
Did she try to come for me?
She came for your ass.
Come for me.
We have a lot of we have a lot in common.
Well, what makes you think I like dick?
I didn't say dick. I said penis. I was being politically,
correct. What makes you think I like penis? What makes you think I like penis?
Oh, you like vagina?
He like ass.
I have five. I have five children. So what does
that,
that
mean? Anything? That don't mean anything. That don't mean shit.
Well, it does. It mean that, you know, I do enjoy, or I did enjoy being with a woman, or several women, as a matter of fact. But I mean, now, for the past 20 years, you know, I have been living my life as a gay man. But you know, hey, you know, I'm not going to turn down, you know, being with Halle Berry.
So my you bisexual?
Me either.
So are you consider yourself mostly? Because I know other gay men who I've asked this question to as well. Your preference is men, but you'll take a woman. Or are you bisexual, or you'll do both? Or what is it? Since we're going
in. No. All I'm saying at this point in time, you know, I am gay. That's what I am. You know, I don't holler at women. You know, I don't do that. You know, that's not what I do. You know, I'm just saying that I can't, if I wanted to, I just choose not to.
Okay, well, that's fine. No,
I
can talk to a man if I want to, but I don't want to. But I mean, the point is what is your preference?
You know you want to.
I don't want to fuck with a guy. There's nothing wrong with it, but that's just not me. I love pussy. I love
fucking with guys.
And I love fucking some pussy, so that's me. Mm. It's like whatever his preference is, it's fine.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with it.
Yeah. It's all good.
But he defended it real quick, though. It's like, what makes you think I just like dick? Well, okay, maybe.
Right.
Maybe
I said that because a lot of times when people say that, they have this connotation to it that, you know, appears as though, you know, I like getting fucked or something.
Well, you like to be okay. So you're not the receiver. You're the giver. So now you're telling us. So now you're saying this. Okay. Listen. No. Wait. Now listen. Now you're telling us that you're the giver and not the receiver.
That opens up a whole new can of worms.
It sure does. And you open the motherfucking can.
What I don't like.
You like to be the one that's pounding the shit. You don't want to be the one that's receiving the shit.
I receive. Yeah, I couldn't hear you.
I said, you like to give, but you don't want to receive. You want to pound this shit, but you don't want to receive it.
Exactly. There you go.
Oh, okay. That's what you should have said. Okay, go ahead.
Well, nobody asked.
You like getting fucked.
Well, listen, Mike, listen, there's different people in the gay community. As you know, there are some that like to just like you that gives it. Then you got some that might want to receive it as well. A lot of times,
I mean, you have
I've been told,
you
listen,
have those,
I'm not gay, but I'm just going to go by. You
books.
Tell me if I'm right or not. Listen, it depends on certain times and situations that you're in, right? Is that sometimes the case where whoever plays what role? It's not always that you're the receiver or the giver. You might be in the relationship, you might be the giver in this one, or you might be the receiver in the other. Or you might be, like you said, you just want to be the one that's giving the shit and not receiving nothing, just taking that ass. It just depends, right?
Right. It just depends. You know, some people are considered hot.
Not everybody is assuming that just because you're gay that you're getting fucking ass.
Versatile.
Right, right.
Huh?
Got it. But I thought you was taking up the ass, though. I'm going to tell you for true.
I thought you were doing that too.
I didn't know you was a pounding mother. You the manhandler and shit. You the motherfucker. You putting the shit out. You putting them down and shit. Okay, I got it.
That's not a put down.
That doesn't offend me. I mean, you know, gay is being gay. You know, whether you're top, bottom, versatile, or whatever, you know. So, I mean, I'm not offended by it. You know, I'm just fucking with you. But, you know, hey, it's cool. But, again, that's not what I'm into.
Oh, okay.
You know, if you want to know I'm into, I'll tell you.
Well, okay, so we assume now that you open this can of worms, I'm going to ask this question. since you the one that's giving a lot to her, you the manhandler, you the pounder and shit, you tearing these motherfuckers up, are you hitting them flamboyant motherfuckers? Are you getting the hard dudes and shit and fucking them up or what? And
all
then what if they what do they tell you? Look, man, I want you to I want to fuck you in the ass. I want to fuck you in the ass. So what do you tell them?
Well, you know, the thing is that, you know, with me, you know, I'm up front. You know, I don't meet people, you know, and have these one-night stands, and all of a sudden you get yourself in a situation where, you know, this brother want to fuck you, and you know that ain't what you want. You know, there is conversation before.
Right, well, but you said you was a hoe in the beginning, so
wait,
I didn't know what
you
were
me,
in your learning.
You know,
but you weren't
me,
that up front because you're married to a woman.
I'm sorry?
Are you still married?
And I can't hear everybody saying everything at one time.
Go ahead. Ladies first.
I said you weren't always up front. You were not always up front because you were married to a woman.
I was married to a woman. That's true. However, that side of me did not happen until after I was married and after I had gone into the military.
So you're now not married anymore?
Hell no.
Okay, well, shit, you might have a dude. You might be married to a guy. I don't know.
Well, no. Well, yeah, I am in a relationship. I do have a partner. We're not legally married, as they say, and we've never had a ceremony. But, yeah, I am in a relationship with another brother.
Okay. That's cool, man. I'm glad you crashed my show and shit. I'm glad you crashed my show, only because
it's my fault.
It's not because a lot of motherfuckers, a lot of people that live the lifestyle, and I'm not saying it's bad, don't take it wrong, you know, they don't want to talk about this shit because they, like you said, they don't know how to come out with it, or they're trying to cope with it themselves, or whatever the case may be. But you've been doing it for 20 years. You know what the fuck you are, and you happy. That's great.
Exactly.
I like that.
You know,
yeah.
but like I said, you know, it's a journey, you know, and it's a different journey for everybody, regardless of what it is, you know, and it doesn't always take the same time span, you know. For some, you know, they can do it in a few months. Some takes several years, you know. So
right.
Again, it's a journey, and it's all different for every person.
Do you regret? I'm comfortable with it.
You
don't have any regrets or anything like that, do you? I mean, do you ever sometimes, like, I want to be with a woman, and that's, you know, why did I do this shit?
No, I don't have any regrets at all. I mean, because
okay, I'm
after
just asking.
I got
this is
out of,
question, man.
Once I got out of my first marriage, I've been married twice, by the way. When I got out of my
he
first
was trying,
marriage.
He was making sure he wasn't, he was trying to make sure and shit. Let me make sure I don't want pussy no more.
I had to make sure, you know, I got out of the military. I was in the GI Bill, so I went, you know, to college, you know, to get,
right.
you know, a college degree. You know, while I was in there, you know, I did whatever I wanted to do, male or female. And there was a young lady that had come along at the time. You know, she was in one of my classes. One thing led to another. And, you know, we started dating, you know, and from that point on, I've always told any woman that I have been with that I like both. And interestingly enough, they've never turned me down. They've never said,
of course not,
oh,
because
well,
that gives them
guy,
a door to have two dicks.
I don't want to deal with you. You know, I don't want to get AIDS from you. I don't want to do this, that, or the other. I've never, ever had a woman say, no, because
you know what?
You're bisexual.
You know why, man. You know why. Because that opens the door for
you. I know why.
There's another guy can be in here, and he don't give a fuck. Yeah.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
I mean, I had my share of reasons as well.
No, that was me.
Okay, go ahead. You said you had your share of threesomes
Yeah.
No, I mean, he was saying
you know,
he had
I
his
mean,
share of threesomes. I'm just saying, okay.
Well, you know, with a female and me and
another
dude.
Guy.
Yeah.
What about a threesome with you and two other guys?
I've done that.
That's great, man. I mean, you know, you know what you want and you're living your life. That's all that counts, man. It's just next time. No, it ain't gonna next time. You can come back on the show. But the thing is you should have fucking told me, man. Hey, man, I'm a gay writer and shit. You thought I was gonna tell you could have come on and shit? I would have still let you. I would have let everybody know we got this gay motherfucker coming on the show and shit, man. We're gonna talk about it, man. I'm doing it anyway, so fuck it.
You know what I'm saying? No,
well,
it's cool.
You know, truth, like I said, but truth be told, any reporter worth their salt do their homework.
Okay? You see, he's trying to say I'm fucked up. I'm
so
not a reporter,
go,
though,
so
man.
Don't, so don't go
I'm
there.
An author.
So don't go. What, reporter, interviewer, author, whatever you want to call yourself, my brother, we do our homework. I know when I'm writing my books, I do mine. Don't
yeah,
do,
I do mine when
do,
I write my books, too.
Don't you do
So you're telling me.
You don't do that when you're doing an interview with a total stranger.
Well, I interview lots of people. Because you know why I didn't make a difference? Because it doesn't matter. I'm just fucking with you because it's funny, and I can have this conversation on my show, and we can laugh about this shit. That's the only reason why I'm fucking with you. So don't get all
hot. I know.
It's cool, bro.
I know. I'm just fucking with you back. You going to fuck with
and
me, I'm going to fuck you back.
I just won't stick my dick in your ass, though, and you ain't sticking it in mine. No, I'm just kidding. I ain't no fucking around like that. But anyway, you cool, though, man, really. Seriously, because you can bring, you know, if there's ever any question of that type of thing, you know I could probably even ask you about some stuff, and you'll be honest about it. Because you can't talk to everybody about these kind of things, you know, and that doesn't mean that you're interested in being gay or anything like that. But I write erotica, and like you said, you got to have all types of different types of sex when you do erotic books. And many books that I have 15 erotic books. You can't just write about the same shit all the time and expect people to understand or, you know, be into it. So you got to have some gay scenes. You got to have some different things. A lot of people may not understand
this is
that,
true.
But it's just it's what true. You got to do. So you know, that's the only reason why
I mean, I have some straight sex scenes in my book as well, you know.
Yeah.
So
you know,
it's that's what you have to do.
Yeah. And you got an audience, the people that's following you, they want to see different things. And like
yeah.
I said, you know, you just have to be true to your audience. You know, just like we always talk on this show, you know, you can write about things all the time. Don't mean you have to have experience it, but you got to be able to do the research in some kind of way to be able to find out so that you can be able to write it and make it believable. Stephen King, and we always use him as an example. I know he may have killed some people, but I'm just saying, to write about a murder, do you have to go murder somebody to really write about it? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you got to be able to be, as an author, be able to create the scene and make it believable enough that it was. So it's the same thing with erotica or any genre, urban or whatever, you know. It's just what it is. So
absolutely. I totally agree.
But we got 27 minutes, and I want to get Lily to do us one more if she doesn't mind.
Sure, I don't mind it all.
When you're ready, I want you to bring something. Not a kitty one though. That was a little too much for me. The abortion and shit. I loved it, but I don't.
Yeah, I want her to arouse.
No, he wanted to
be aroused.
Like, okay.
He wants to be aroused.
What?
Okay.
Aroused.
He wants to be aroused.
I don't know if I'll be able to. Just kidding. That was bad. Okay.
Did you heard the first porn? Did you get aroused from the first porn?
She tried to cuss with me again.
No, I don't know. But did you get aroused from the first porn?
A little bit. You know, if she had kind of really got into it. You know, I was feeling it. You know, like I said, I thought it was great. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Well, I did too. And I want her to give me another one of the motherfuckers. But I want some. Breaking into the room, trying to get into the room, and you just tearing off your clothes and that kind of shit. Well, if you don't have that, if it's something sensual, that's fine. That'll work. Just give us what you got.
Okay. Okay. This piece is titled She. She misses you immensely.
Okay.
The intensity of your dirty. See, you fucking me all up. I'm gonna need you to mute yourself.
No, you need to go. You need to go head on and get
you
sensual.
Do something sexy. Do this. I'm gonna need you to put more into it. And while critiquing, while I'm doing that, just fuck me up. I'm not a multitasker.
Hey, Lily, do you want some of this blunt I got?
Do I want what?
Some of this blunt I got.
Well, I do have
glaucoma.
Puff pass, nigga. No.
Oh, I ain't got it. You can still pass the shit. Anyway, I ain't got no glaucoma. Anyway,
okay.
Yeah.
Rewind.
Pass. Puff. Anyway.
Down, boys. Okay.
All right, DB, you want me to shut up? So go ahead. Go ahead, Lily.
Thank you. She misses you immensely. the intensity of your dirty ink, which bleeds through clean sheets. She creates the throb of you, the pursuit of pleasure covered by panties. Rip them off and refreshing the memories of me. I mean, she being massacred by your mad tool, screwed by the madness of you. Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, going 5150 all through my insides. I felt the glide from your lovemaking, then the shaking of my world by your manic mayhem. She is torn between the hard and soft of you, the devil and angel inside of you, free inside of me. I mean, she. Let your congregation have a revival inside my pulpit. Exercise the demons out of me. Squeeze my throat with your leash until my whimpers cease. I graciously fall to my knees. While you pull out tracks from my weave, I swallow the majority of your seeds. I know. She pleads for more of your downpour, likes being your lady, but loves being your whore. She wants more. Suck me like an animal. Go Hannibal Lecter and let your dog eat away at my cat. You know she likes it like that. Left scratches all down your back. She insists that you perfect your pen stroke, good and bad in you. You're good at being bad and you're bad within my good good. She understands what others don't, and she'll do what others won't. Tattooed your name with the tip of your dick, so there'll be no doubt whose pussy this is. Stroke red hot orgasms by painting all over pink walls. Scribble your burning lava until fierce waves fall. Your milk covers my chocolate thighs as pillows distort my muffled cries of passion penetrated by your penis. She needs this. If granted three wishes, it would be for you to cover her with erotic kisses by tongue rolling inside of her sweetness. Recreate the bipolar hits of her pussy with your penis, and by all means, and I mean this when I say, beat the life out of her. Pipe her like you don't like her, then perform CPR on her. Murder it and bring her right back because she loves that. As a matter of fact, ruin act, I mean, rewrite your piece on those sheets like a rough draft. Paint all over her canvas until your masterpiece is complete, and by all means, put away the meds. Because when the pussy is being fed and you receive aggressive head, she gets turned on when you're turned up because she likes it like that. Getting fucked long and rough. She is the nickname for my pussy, and she misses your D immensely. In peace.
All right. What is the comment? Body has nothing to say. I'm getting snap, snap, snap. Yes, yes. We're getting snap, 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 snap.
Okay, that's a good sign.
I think that was a great piece. It was a great piece, and definitely out of many poets I've had on my show, and I'm not just saying this to you, and Romeo knows, and a few others who've been on the show before. We have a lot of poets that come on, and sometimes they just don't have the delivery that you have. And I wish Cotton was here because she's very good as well. And she would definitely tell you, you know, that you definitely know what you're doing and that you're in the right craft of writing this type of thing and putting it out the way you do, because you're putting your feelings, the way you wrote it, I'm feeling that you, the way you wrote it to me at that time is what I'm feeling now in the way you deliver it. Sometimes you get these poets on here and they'll say it. I don't know if they're scared or what it is. And I know it's something you have to grow into if you're going to get up before people and be able to speak it. But the feelings that, you know, you only got that one time, that little few minutes to let people feel what you were feeling when you wrote that. So the delivery is given the way that you want them to know. If they don't get nothing else out of it, at least know how you felt when you wrote it.
Okay.
So I did get that. So, DV, you want to say anything?
Oh, no, I'm good. Sorry, I was typing in the chat room, snapping.
But, that's all right, Melanie.
You know, she did a good job.
Yes,
Thank you.
Melanie, are you still there?
I'm here. I am.
Did you have a comment?
No, I've just been kind of listening tonight. It's been nice, and I love both of her poems. And I love poets that are diverse and are equally passionate. And you definitely felt that. And I love the way the poem ended.
Yes. I thought that was nice. Now, Mr. Mike, you still there, right?
Yeah, I'm here.
What did you get out of that? Did you enjoy the piece?
I did. I thought it was very sensuous.
Very.
You know, she almost got me to that point, you know.
You almost thought you wanted some pussy? Okay.
No, you didn't.
I could have said dick sucking. See that you get that all. You get that anyway. But anyway,
Wow.
I couldn't help it, man. It was right there. It was right the fuck there. Anyway,
like it's just dangling. So I had to grab it.
It was right there.
See.
But that's cool.
It was good, anyway. I enjoyed it. I thought it was very good. I enjoyed it, sweetie.
Actually, that might have been better than the first one. Was absolutely magnificent as well. All three pieces were fabulous. But you know, I think that one was more sensuous than the first one. The first one was more of the buck wild that I was looking for, and this one here I think was. Was that more sensuous, you know, I'm ready for this motherfucker, you do me, you know, whatever. That was good. Now, what I want to do is I'm going to give you some time to tell people how they can get your book, and if they want to do both of you to do this, if they want to get you to do a book signer or something like that, how would they be able to do that? And we'll start with Lily.
My book is published through Inner Child Press. You can go to innerchildpress.com and find me under my government name. Lisa Lily Wiley. I put the link on the event page.
Okay.
I have a fan page on Facebook, Misbehaving's Madness. I have some little excerpts of poems on there.
Okay.
And I have a feature coming up in LA, I think October 11th, and I'll be at the Norwegian November 8th. And I'll find out Saturday if I won the National Poetry Award for my book, Poetry Out 30 Years.
Well, let us know if you did, and if you did, I want you to come back so we can talk about that. The next show right after you've won. So even if there is other people that's already on that's going to be a guest, I want you to still call in, and we'll talk to you for a few minutes about that. Is that okay?
And even if you didn't win, you know, call in. So
even if you didn't win, I want you to call. Like I said, even if you didn't win, if you could call back and let us know what happened, we'd appreciate that. And the best of luck.
Well, is Romeo's line still open?
I'm going to turn it on. He can speak right now. Go ahead, Romeo.
Yeah, can y'all hear me?
We can hear you. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Excellent piece. I just had a question, Ray. What time is the show over? Because I want to show if you had enough time to if Lily had enough time to do another piece. I was.
Well, she does. We got 15 minutes. We got about 15 minutes, and I can let her do one more.
Okay, yeah.
Just to put icing on the cake.
A piece out of your book, Big Riding, Big Rhythm.
Big
Rhythm.
Okay,
thank
let's
you.
Do it right
I appreciate
now.
That.
Okay. This is in my book, Unchained Pen. It's in the Freaky Peaky section in the back.
okay.
You ready? Are you ready to ride?
Go
legs
right now, baby.
Twist around you. Legs twist around you for miles. Curves upon curves and more curves. My winding road will cause dizziness, so hold on to something tightly, because my wide load will break backs, back into you until you crack. I'll give you what them skinny broads lack, more cushion for the pushin. Can take the hurt in underneath my skirt and my peach, freshly squeezed, sweet and juicy. I can hear your satisfied groans, hell. Dogs don't even like bones. Daddy, come and get some. Let me cling you to my bosom. Pillows made from double D flesh. You succumb to my caress. Restless hands wander through my wonderland, but my name ain't Alice. You'll love my pink palace where this queen rules, with just enough room for a king. Conduct this one-woman orchestra to sing. Ring my bells until tonsils swell, and you spring leaks inside my well. Our temperatures begin to rise as I take my thick thighs, wrap around you like a boa constrictor, coil around your waist as you rip her, tempt her to drink all your milk, because it does a body. Oh, so good. I'm not a lumberjack, but I've been known to chop wood. I'm a hog with that log. Gotta keep me warm through the winter. I'm the center of attention, and whenever my name is mentioned, you'll be more than obliged to stay in detention with this behavior. I'll satisfy your chocolate craving while saving money on your heat bill. Feel the warmth of my thickness. Who wouldn't want this brick house with the picturesque view of cleavage curves and all the thick chocolate cake? More than any fat man can take. So partake in this pleasure ride. You'll love the way I drive. In peace.
All right, Romeo.
Yeah, I want to say thank you. Thank
okay.
you very much.
Somebody said
yeah, she has some real high lines in that piece. And I think one of my favorite lines is not even dog like bones. She is a wonderful writer. I'm going to say that again.
Right. She is. And that's
honest in her sexiness. Yes.
If she was fucked up, I would have already then told her that by now. So she knows that you didn't made it all the way almost to the end of the show, and you've done a great job. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
And we
Thank
want you to definitely come back to Word Sexy whenever you feel like you need to. We got some slots still, some segments in October and through December, I believe. And anybody who wants to come back, whatever, you know, we can do that. Mike, we're going to have your ass back so we can talk shit to you. And you know, fuck with you. When I feel gay
just
shit, I can fuck with you.
Just hit me up. Let me know.
Okay. So when is your next book coming out, man? You done wrote what, 5 gay books? When is your next book coming out?
The next book will be out, which is called The Cool in You. I don't know if you remember the, you know, the old baby.
I remember the song.
You. Okay. Well, it's pretty much about that, but it'll be out sometime in October.
So you telling me
I'm
that song all the time I was liking had some gay connotations to it and shit? No, I'm just cooling you. See, I'm learning some shit tonight, man. That's fucked up, man. I don't even listen to that song no more. No, I'm just playing, man. No, that's cool though, man. So let us know when you get.
What do you think the cooling you meant?
I don't know, because I was just listening to the damn song. So is it motherfucker or punk or what? No, I'm just playing. No, just let us know when the song comes out, man, because I don't know what the cooling you is. I guess you're going to tell us in your book, right?
Absolutely.
Because I know you're going to say, read the book. Right. Got you. All right. Well,
it'll be out in October, so I'll let you know.
Yeah, just let us know, and we'll get you back on. And I want Cotton to be here and shit, because she's going to have some questions for you, I'm sure, that she always going to ask. She always bring out them damn questions and shit, you know, that nobody else want to ask.
Including you, huh?
No, mm-hmm. I didn't ask all the shit I need to know. I'm good. I'm good. All the questions I need to know have been asked already, so I'm good. We cool.
All right.
But I thank you for coming
I'm
on.
I'm working on a CD, too.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Melanie.
I'm sorry. Lily. I'm working on a CD as well.
Oh, Lily. Oh, I'm sorry, baby. Okay. You got a CD coming out?
I'm working on that now.
Okay, well, when is it coming out?
Probably next year.
Probably in a few.
Beginning of next year.
Oh, well, just let us know when it comes out and your sensuous voice and all that shit. You know, we'll be talking about that. And I just want to go ahead and put the plug out again. I got a book signing that's coming up here on Thursday. If you're in the Kansas City area, at the Broadway Jazz Club. It's a nice little spot. We're going to be there from 6 to 8 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time in Kansas City, right here on Broadway. And we're going to be doing that. I'm going to be my book, Amoris After Dark. We're going to be putting that out, and people are going to be getting that as well. And, you know, we're just going to continue to go forth and do great things in our literary world and all our world that we do. And like I said, I just want to thank everybody for listening tonight and the chat room. We thank you very much for keeping it live. And those that called in and those that are listening on the show, we always want you to keep Word Sexy Radio, because we want to be different from everybody else. We don't want to be like all the regular shows where we give you questions and you have to stay in the guidelines, the limits of what's there. We like to be bold and innovative and different and talk all this stuff. That's why we are who we are. So we just want to keep that going. And, you know, DV, you got anything you want to put out?
No, you know what? This was an interesting conversation. I had a lot of laughs tonight, so... You know, I appreciate Mr. Warren and Ms. Lily for coming on the show.
Yeah, and I appreciate you guys. And please come back, both of you. When y'all get some new stuff, let me know, and we'll get you on. It's not a problem. We'll just knock it out like that. Okay?
Sounds like a plan.
That's what we'll do. All right. And this has been Word Sexy Radio, and we're doing our thing. We're going on out right now. My birthday is Monday, so if you think about me, wish me a happy birthday.